Hallelujah. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Our God is good. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. Special thanks to the pastorate. Thank you, Pastor MY. Thank you, Seth Man. We do not take these opportunities for granted, but we are grateful that we are growing and becoming a better version of ourselves daily. Just like the scripture says, that daily he loads us with benefit. We are getting better and better. Praise the Lord. All right. Tonight we are diving straight into God's word. And we'll be looking at the color of God's voice. Hallelujah. The color of God's voice. Amen. The color of God's voice. Praise the Lord. And let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the entrance of your word gives light. Thank you because this brings your word to even the most simple. It breaks your word even to the simplest form, causing every heart that hears it now and hereafter to run with it, to grasp, and to be blessed by your word. Glory to you. Take my lips and speak to us that we be edified. Glory to your name, Father, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, I was sleeping actually when the Lord brought that topic to my spirit. And I was meditating, I was just thinking about it. So if I say, why are you looking at me with that color of voice? Why are you looking at me with that color of eyes? Or why are you looking at me with that, so when that word, that topic hit me, I started thinking, I know about sound. I was expecting it to be sound, the sound of God's voice. The sound of God's voice. But he said the color of God's voice. And I started searching. And I started searching the scripture that he brought to my heart. Amen. Our text is taken from the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 18. So, as I searched, some things started hitting me in my spirit, especially what he said in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Yes, our text is from Jeremiah chapter 18, from verse 1 to 11. But then let's see Joshua chapter 1 first for clarity on what I was talking about the color of God's voice. So Joshua chapter 1 from verse 5 to 9. Joshua 1 from verse 5. And it says, it said, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. That was God talking to Joshua. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Be strong and of good courage. For to these people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Hallelujah. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Hallelujah. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Amen. Now, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. I was expecting God to tell Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your eyes. Book, what do you do to a book? You read a book. What do you, how do you read a book? You see with your eyes and you read. Hallelujah. But when he's talking about this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, it means that you don't only stop at reading, you go on to, he talked about meditating on it day and night. Meaning that as you read, you meditate, you ponder, you chew it. Something I was teaching us some time ago, I talked about masticate. You know, when it talked about, it described how some animals, after they just got their feed, they go sit in a place, especially like rams and all that, and then they begin to masticate, they begin to chew them thoroughly, properly, so that it's well grounded, so that it's, they just begin to go through them, chew them again, masticating. Hallelujah. Amen. So this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth means that as I see it with my eyes and I'm reading, just like we are reading God's word right now, so reading the scriptures, we go back home just like the Berean Christians and we go through them again. We go through them again. We chew them properly. We meditate. We stay in that place with the word. We stay with the word and meditate on them. Ponder on the word. Ponder on the word. Ponder on the word. Just like the scripture says that as we behold him as in a mirror, we become metamorphosed. We become transformed. This word has power to cause us to metamorphose into that very express image that we see in the scriptures that we look at. Hallelujah. To the point that these words, having read them, having meditated on them, these same words, we begin to, they begin to come out of our belly and out of our mouth as pure words that we have taken over, we have taken charge of, and as we speak them forth, they become God's word in our mouth. Hallelujah. The Bible says that angels obey the voice of God. They obey the word of God. And so when we read the word, having read the word, meditated on them, when we speak them forth, we speak God's word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when we speak God's word, you see angels go and begin to act. Apart from that, when we speak God's word, we address situations, we address circumstances, we address things. He has made us priests. He has put us in charge of things. So you have a territory that you are designated to take charge of. But it's when you speak God's word that you begin to stand in your place. I remember some time ago when Pastor Tox was teaching us and she made mention of that word that says, I will stand my guard. I will stand at my watch and see what he will say. He didn't say, and hear what he will say. And see. I will stand on my watch to see what he will say to me. What does that mean? The word of God is not only to be read. The word of God becomes part of you that you can speak it forth. Hallelujah. That's why we have that. The color of God's voice. The color of God's voice. It's not only a letter. Soon it becomes sound. And then from sound, if Sedman taught us some time ago in one of the Bible schools, and he said, if I say a dog now, all of a sudden a picture of a dog comes to your mind. If I say a black dog, he says that when he says a black dog, all of a sudden you are picturing a black dog in your mind. Amen. He didn't bring a black dog to church. But he said when he mentioned a black dog, you begin to factor the picture of a black dog. Praise God. Our minds are so powerful. So if I say a white car, something is going on in your head. You can see a white car, even in your head. In your head, you are imagining a white car. Amen. If I talk about plane, all of a sudden your mind goes to an airport and you are seeing a plane, even while you are here. Praise God. So God's word has such potency, such power, that as we read it, as we study it, and we chew it, we meditate on it, it becomes a part of us and is doing something in us. So much so that when we speak it, and then we come across someone who is sick, or we come across a situation and we declare that word, we get it instantly. Praise God. We get it. So this word, this book of the law, shall not depart out of your mouth. So we do not only read it, we meditate on it, we ponder on it, and we use it. We speak them forth. Praise the Lord. Okay, so let's go to Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah 18, from verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, sorry, I would like to have that in the ERV. Amen. All right. This is the message that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Jeremiah, go down to the potter's house. I will give you my message there. Verse 3. So I went down to the potter's house and saw him working with clay at the wheel. How many of us know clay? We've seen clay before. I've played with clay before. I've done some work with clay before. I remember some time ago when secondary school, I went to Benin. We went to see some work. I've seen clay before. It's amazing to work with clay. Hallelujah. So, with clay at the wheel. 4. He was making a pot from clay, but there was something wrong with the pot. So the potter used the clay to make another pot. With his hands, he shaped the pot the way he wanted it to be. Then this message from the Lord came to me. Family of Israel, you know that I can do the same thing with you. You are like the clay in the potter's hands, and I am the potter. This message is from the Lord. There may come a time when I will speak about a nation or a kingdom that I will pull up by its roots or tear down and destroy it. But if the people of that nation change their hearts and lives and stop doing evil things, I will change my mind and not bring on them the disaster I planned. There may come another time when I speak about a nation that I will build up or plant. But if I see that nation doing evil things and not obeying me, I will think again about the good I had planned to do for them. So Jeremiah say to the people of Judah and those who live in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. I am the potter preparing troubles for you and making plans against you. So stop doing the evil things you are doing. Each person must change and start doing good. Hallelujah. Yes. So the Lord said to Jeremiah, I want to show you something. Go down to the potter's house. I will give you a message there. Praise the Lord. Note that in the potter's story, God here is the potter, just like he told Jeremiah. We are the clay. There used to be one song, one old school song like that. You are the potter, I am the clay. Make me and mold me, something like that. Very old song. He is the potter. We are just the clay. Now, what Jeremiah observed in the potter's house is that each time he's making a pot. So let's say he's making a pot, a beautiful piece. And he discovers that, you know, when you work with clay, I discovered that sometimes you find particles. Sometimes sticks, sometimes stones, pebbles, you know, rough items. Could find them there. What does the potter do? He takes those things away. No wonder Paul said, he talked about thorn in his flesh, which could represent sickness, which could represent obstacles, things that are hindering or disturbing him from enjoying life full of all of the blessings of God. But the potter takes those things, like you are writing a script and then you are editing. When you edit, you take what you don't want out and you leave it to be a masterpiece. So God takes away the field, take away anything that ought not be there, that will hinder the pot from being a properly well represented or well presented vessel. Amen. Remember what the scripture says. It's his desire that he puts us out there and showcases us as his masterpiece, so that our lives can attract and draw people to the kingdom. Amen. So, as the potter is making the pot into a beautiful piece, when he finds items, things that are not good, he takes them away. And that's why he's giving us his word. To help us become better versions of ourselves. To help us become like instruments of praise that brings glory and not shame to the Lord Almighty. Amen. So God is the potter and we are the clay. The pot needs help, not the potter. The pot needs help, not the potter. So each time he's making a pot and there's a crack or it seems like it's bent, it's not looking like what he wants, he'll press it, he'll crash it down again and start all over again to mold it into that very express image that he wants to see us become. He guards us with his word. That's what it means. So each time we are tempted to do something wrong, his word constrains us. Paul again talked about that in the epistle, that his word constrains us, his word keeps us, his word compels us, his word compels us to stay on the right path. Hallelujah. Never ever try to do without God. We need him. We are the clay. We are the pot. He is the potter. So we cannot do without him. Never ever try to do without him. You'll be in big trouble if you try to do without him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The book of 1 Chronicles chapter 16, I think verse 11, it says that we should depend on the Lord for strength. I'm still talking about the potter and the pot. We are the ones who need the potter. We are the ones who need God to always shape us, bring us back. Yes, Lord, I'm broken. Lord, I'm going through a whole lot of stuff. Yes, even if you have to cry, even no matter what, as long as you desire to stay on his path and just in the path of righteousness wherein he has kept you, he sees you and he can help you. Amen. He said he'll be our present help in time of need. And like he said in his word, he said in 1 Chronicles, he said, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11, said, depend on the Lord for strength. Always go to him for help. Hallelujah. We cannot have need for help and we run to the devil or run to man. No, we run to the Lord. We stay with him. Depend on the Lord for strength. Always go to him for help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because as the pot, we cannot do without him as the potter. He knows how to paint, decorate, and mold us into that very express, beautiful piece that everyone will see out there and give him glory. Hallelujah. Let's look at Psalm 119 also. Psalm 119, verse 73. 119, Psalm 119, verse 73. Let's have it in the King James, please. In the King James. New NKJV. Let's have that in NKJV. He says, I think it's the same. He talks about your hands have made me and fashioned me. Still talking about what the potter does to the pot, does to the clay. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. if only all the time we recognize that, Lord, I am the pot. You are the potter. Your hands have made me. I'm a beautiful piece. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made by God. Carefully made. Lovingly made. I remember the scripture talking about that, how that he lavishes his love on us. He has lavished his love on us. His grace is surpassing. It's so awesome. He has lavished it on us. Amen. So his hands have made me and fashioned me as a potter that he is. So I'm awesomely made. I'm beautifully made. So it would be wrong for me to begin to think that because my biological father died at XYZ age, that I should be expecting that. Wrong. Because I have been made and fashioned differently. I have the life of Christ in me. I have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. There's something about me that's so different and special. And that's why he said to us that we are unique. We are peculiar. There's something special about us. Hallelujah. He has made me and fashioned me. So let's know that what we read to know and to meditate on it, to retain, and so as to speak it out all the time, these same words from our inside. Hallelujah. Let's see 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3, 18. Hallelujah. He says, and our faces, he said, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, are being metamorphosed, hallelujah, into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. What Jeremiah saw the potter doing was exactly what God himself did in Genesis. What did he do? He took dust and made man. After he made man, he breathed into man the breath of life. He put into man his life, his spirit, his breath. So man, according to Genesis, became a living being, a living soul. Before then, man was just carcass. Man was just mud. Man was just a clay, a dead stone clay. But when his spirit came into man, when he breathed into man, man became a living being, a living soul. You can't have God on your inside and be dead. Because God is living, he's alive. That's why the scripture says that his words, they are alive, they are active. Hallelujah. His words, they have life and they are active. If you come across a dead person and you speak God's word, the dead being will come alive and come and stay alive and be active. Hallelujah. It was said about Smith Wigglesworth that he raised at least a minimum of how many? 8 dead, certified dead people. That means there were more than that, but certified. People that are deader than dead, certified. There's a certificate to prove that this one is gone. Take him to the mortuary. He raised them back to life. How? God's word is alive and active. Hallelujah. The book of book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2. I'll have this from the Amplified Classic. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Okay, let's take it from verse 14 to 16. It's talking about, I think Toby read that place when we were praying. I think 2:15, he read that when we were praying. Study to show yourself approved of God. Hallelujah. So yes, from 14. It says, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord, not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. And then it's 15 says, be diligent to present yourself. The New King James will say, study to show yourself. Hallelujah. Yes, the New King James talked about study to show yourself approved of God. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth, 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Study to show yourself approved of God. A workman that need not be ashamed. As you do God's work, as you are out there, as a masterpiece, as a beautiful vase, well sculpted by God, well made by God, dressed, beautifully made, you are a beautiful piece. You may see other versions. You may see other things. We talked about how the ruler of this world is the devil. We are in the world. We are not of the world. We have a kingdom. We know where we are from. So when you see other versions made by their master, do not envy them. Rather, be constantly unashamed of who you are and what you represent. Praise the Lord. One guy came up in a group and said, he said, he brought out a scripture and he was talking about, it's from the book of Judges, and he was talking about Samson. So when the Spirit of God came upon Samson and then he killed some people and blah, blah, blah. And the guy said, he now brought another scripture again out again that talked about how the slave will serve the master and blah, blah, blah. He said, how can this be a good thing? And he was using one kind of word, trying to castigate the Bible. And he said, he used the word stupid. I said, in your life, don't ever dare that again. Don't even dare. What you don't understand is bigger than you. If you don't know, ask. May God help us in Jesus' name. Okay, so how to know God's voice? You see, there was something that happened. I'll just list a few and then we'll get ready to round up because of time. How to know God's voice? You know, we're talking about the color of God's voice. Number one, God's voice is His word. God's voice is His word. David talked about God's word so much. How I love your word. How I love to meditate on your word. How I love to read your word. Early in the morning will I rise up and sing your word to you. That's God's word. He's singing back to God. Hallelujah. God's word, God's voice is His word. It's not different. Growing up, we used to think that God's voice must be deep. Growing up, I used to know some deep baritones. Like when you think of Barry White, when you think of Jim Reeves, some bright morning when, you know, there's Kenny Rogers, there's Don Williams. I used to think God's word must be deeper. God's voice must be deeper than it must be one big baritone. No. I read the scriptures and I saw it talks about Small, still voice. Hallelujah. But you know one thing? You know it. When he speaks to your heart, you know. But isn't it amusing that ordinarily, just think of, that's why you can't comprehend like that guy. He couldn't comprehend it. See, the scripture is so sweet and beautiful. You need, as I always say, the scripture is so simple and easy to understand that you would need help to misunderstand it. So, a small voice comes and whispers in your ear and saying, do this. This. And then you're wondering, don't worry about the voice. Check what it is saying. Check what he's saying. If it tallies with his word, the devil cannot advise you, or the word cannot tell you to do what is good. The devil cannot tell you to do what will make you obey the scriptures or make you love God more or make you grow in God. Whatever he will tell you will be what will be contrary to God's word. He came to Eve and he deceived Eve. And that's all the devil represents. But when God's word comes, it doesn't matter whether it's tiny or big, it will resonate, it will match with his word, with scriptures. His word, however it comes, can never be contrary to the scripture. Praise the Lord. Number two, God's voice carries or connotes positivity, not negativity. So somebody was in church one day, and every time pastor is preaching, that's when she wants to give prophecy. Sound teaching will be going on, and you just hear, hey, she will just jump and be shouting. It was when we grew that we knew that it was not God. Then we didn't know it was not God. How did I know it was not God? God is not the author of confusion. It's in his word. People need to hear God's word that time that pastor was teaching. So standing up to say you want to give one prophecy, and what kind of prophecy do you say? I am coming. How many times will God announce, I am coming, I have come. And then finally she said, and I have go. So that you are giving a message that I am coming, I have come, and I have go. Sister, we didn't get the message. And you are disturbing God's word that has been preached. At that point, that word is more efficient and more important than anything, because there are lives tied to that word. You just cause distraction. So one day, there was a guest minister around, and she was doing that. The man just got up and gave her, pam. They say when two powers meet, the greater, the lesser power will bow. And she didn't be pam. The man just went and gave her mouth, pam, shut up in Jesus' name. And she kept crying. From that day, we know here, I am coming, I am go. Later as we grew, I saw it in the scriptures. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. You cannot be disturbing God's word that is coming. God said, in all of the mightiness that he puts in his name, in the name of the Son, that said, I've given you a name that is above every other name, that the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee bows. He said, I have honored my word above my name, as mighty as the name. He doesn't joke with his word. He gave his servant word to teach the people. And that's when you want to prophesy. Prophecy can cease. But you see, this word cannot cease. The word cannot cease. It's alive, it's active, it has power. So God's voice carries or connotes positivity. All those who go about and condemn people, it's not God's message they are sharing, no. Early morning, 5 a.m. If you wear trouser, you will die and go to hell. You are not sharing God's word. God did not send you that to send people to hell. It's not your duty. want to share God's word, talk about his love. Talk about why he came to die. The same people he came to die for, you say you are giving them message and you are sending them already to hell. Jesus did not come to send anybody to hell. He came that we will have life and have it more abundantly. It's the devil that came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. John 10:10. He said, but Jesus has come to give us life and give us more abundantly. Hallelujah. God cannot use sickness, death to threaten you, to get your attention. All those people who go about saying, oh man of things, that God wants my attention, that's why he put sickness in me and all that. Check yourself where. God does not do that. He's a loving father. In him there's no wickedness. In him there's no evil. Hallelujah. So number one, we say God's voice is his word. Number two, God's voice carries or connotes positivity. James chapter 1. Let me show something as I round up. Next time we'll go on to talk about number 3. Okay, so James 1. Verse. I think it's Jude, right? Jude. Let me see. Jude 1. Jude 1. Okay, it's James. Sorry, please. It's James. James chapter 1, verse 5. Hallelujah. He said, do any of you know? Give me in, give me that in TPT, please. James 1, 5, in TPT. Yeah. James 1, 5. And he says, and if anyone longs to be wise, ask God for wisdom and he will give it. He won't see your lack of wisdom as an opportunity to scold you over your failures, but he will overwhelm your failures with his generous grace. Hallelujah. I love that. I love that. Let's see it again. And if anyone longs to be wise, ask God for wisdom and he will give it. He won't see your lack of it. He won't see your lack of wisdom as an opportunity to scold you. I've heard a lot of people who say all manner of things. God is not trying to prove a point with you. He's God. He's bigger than that. Rather, he overwhelms us. I love that word. I say he has lavished on us his grace. His surpassing grace. Hallelujah. Rather, he said, he won't see your lack of wisdom as an opportunity to scold you over your failures. Rather, he will overwhelm your failures with his generous grace. I have failed. I've encountered failures. And I'm already disappointed in myself. I'm feeling bad, terribly bad already. He won't say, you foolish child. No. Rather, he will overwhelm my failures with his generous grace. What does that mean? Even in my failure, he will do things and turn it around. The Bible says that he confound the wise with the foolish things. Things that are seemingly foolish. That's what he used to confound the wise. So he would, even in my failure, he will prove to be the wisdom I have. He will prove to be my strength, even in my failure, in my weakest moment. He will be that strength that just proves that I have something that others think I do not have. And God in your life, God in the pot, His breath in that pot, in that clay, his breath in that carcass is more than every other thing, any other thing we can ever imagine. Hallelujah. If you have the Spirit of God in you, no wonder he said, if this Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, this same Spirit can quicken. This same Spirit shall quicken, make strong your mortal bodies. Let's rise up on our feet as we begin to pray about these words. We have God's life in us, God's breath in us, God's power in us. Let's not waste it. Rather, let's use it for his glory. If this Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, this same Spirit will quicken, will make good. Oh, we vitalize, we strengthen your mortal bodies. It doesn't matter how weak you have been. It doesn't matter how bad you think things have become. Oh, Elebalama Sharado Sobrene Makavadosha. Elemrondo Sotoloman Nevrenedo Sharabos Koreana Nation. Elemrondo Sotalaman Nevrekedo Sharadaman Nevedos. Is the potter we are the clay. I need thee every hour. Oh, precious Lord. Oh, a voice like mine and peace afore. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.